When an angel appeared in Bible times, people would fall on their faces, but the angel was often quick to say, "Do not worship me." We should do as the angels do and worship the one they worship. Today, why Jesus is far superior to even the highest angel, and why he alone is the way to God. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Highlights from Hebrews, and our text is taken from Hebrews chapter 1. Dr. Lutzer is teaching us about someone better than angels, and why Jesus is indeed superior to any of them.
Notice that Christ is superior because he has a superior name, he has a superior position, verse 8, namely, he is in the heavens in the very throne of God, sitting on the throne, which is not true of angels, and he has a superior destiny, verse 13. God says that he's to sit at his right hand until his enemies be made a footstool. But as for angels, verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? The destiny of angels is to serve. The destiny of the Son is to rule at the right hand of God the Father and to rule over his enemies, who will become a footstool for his feet. What an expression of the superiority of Jesus Christ. And what I'd like to do in conclusion is to draw three implications that are very important for our life and ministry based on what we have said. First of all, notice Jesus Christ's right to ownership, his right to ownership. When Jesus ascended into heaven after his work was done, there was no mediator there who opened the door for him. He didn't have to check with anybody to get into heaven. Previously, he was there as creator. Now he is there as savior. Previously, he had a natural right as God, but now he had an earned right as the Son of Man, who accomplished the work that the Father gave him to do, and he sits in heaven as owner of all things. Is there some part of your life that is not under his ownership? Because I want you to know that he owns everything. He even owns the money that the wicked squander. He owns it too. They are not using what he's given them correctly, but he owns all things. Remember that song that we used to sing about the Father? It's also true of the Son. My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holds the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. And then it goes on to say, and I'm a child of the King. Here's something to put in your mind that you should never forget, that we'll be coming back to in the book of Hebrews. Notice Jesus is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, owning everything. And it says in Romans that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Do you notice that the text said earlier that he is heir of all things? Because we are joint heirs, we too are heir of all things. How wealthy could we possibly get? That's the wonder of God's grace. Don't let people tell you that Christianity is this terrible religion because it emphasizes the depravity of man and talks about sin all the time as if we're sinners and then leaves us there. No, it does all those things, but then it takes us from the mud and it says we can walk with Christ on the marble and we can go from the pit and we can be with him and reign with him forever from the palace. No religion takes humanity from so low and exalts it so high. Christ has a right to ownership. Obviously, he also has a right to kingship. He has a right to kingship. He has that right to rule. And he rules today in heaven. Now, when we get to chapter 2, we're going to see this more clearly. But in chapter 2, it's going to talk about the present rule of Jesus Christ, where he is there waiting until his enemies be made a footstool. But he is king even when he is waiting, as we shall point out. He has a right to rule because he is God, a very God. Doesn't this just demolish this idea that is found in contemporary society where two-thirds of all Americans believe that it doesn't matter which religion you belong to because all religions are just talking about the same God under a different name? Doesn't this explode the notion of pluralism that says there are many different ways to God and one religious teacher is just as good as the other? It most assuredly does, because there is none like Christ. He owns everything. He is king over everything. A right to ownership, a right to kingship, and a right to be worshipped as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And someday, of course, all creatures will worship him. We can do so now voluntarily. At that time, they will do so because they will have to do it, but every tongue created by God will give Christ glory. Now, my friends, this is the essence of what Christianity is all about. This is where it's at. These are the issues that are most pressing. If you could ask God one question, just one question, what would it be? The most important question we could ever ask is God, is it really true that you are so satisfied with your Son that if we believe in him, you are equally satisfied with us? That's the most important question anyone could ever ask. And by the way, what makes you think that your penance and your good works and all the wonderful things that you do is somehow going to make you pleasing to God, when all that is pleasing to God is his beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased? And the Bible does teach that if we trust the Son, we are as pleasing to the Father as the Son is. Give up your dreams of good works and put your faith in Christ, who is heir of all things and the one whom the Father loves. Come with me to downtown Chicago. Let's take a survey. Let's stop some people at State and Madison and ask them this question. What do you think Christianity stands for? I venture to say, I was going to say I'll bet, but I venture to say that what you would hear is this. Christianity stands for, it's pro-life, it's pro-family, it's pro-morality, it's in favor of a balanced budget, and Christians are very concerned about their religious rights in America. That's probably what you'd hear. Do you see how off base we've become? All of these things are important. Most Christians might believe in them. But that's the way in which we are being defined by society, because we have such things as Christian coalitions, which should be renamed possibly simply conservative coalitions, because how many different things can you hang upon the cross and upon Christ? How many different agendas? I believe in all those things that should be done through the democratic process and the involvement of Christians as good citizens, but let's not hang Jesus on everything. You know what I do? I look forward to this day, even though I don't know if it'll ever come. Maybe it will come. Maybe we'll live long enough that it'll happen. That if you were to go down to State and Madison and have a tape recorder and ask people who walk by, what do Christians stand for? Oh, do I look forward to the day when they say, well, you know what they believe? They believe that Jesus Christ is the only qualified Savior, and they believe that he is God, and that there's no way to get to God except through him. Now, we think that that's just a bunch of bunk, but that's what they believe. Wouldn't that be a wonderful day? If at least the issues were clear. If at least we were going on to talk shows and not debating whether this is right or wrong, but debating the question of whether or not Jesus Christ is a qualified Savior, that's what the people in your office and in your factory and in your bank have to know, is whether or not Christ is believable and whether or not those who receive him are received by God. And apart from him, there is no salvation. That's the big issue. And somewhere along the line, we've gotten off track. You know, of course, that if Shakespeare were to come in today, if he were to come here to the platform having been resurrected, I think we'd all stand. I think we'd even clap for him. If Plato and Aristotle were to come back from the dead, I think we'd stand for them too. I might even stand for Krishna if that meant I got an opportunity to debate him. But I want you to know today that if Jesus Christ came, we would not stand. We would fall on our knees and we would recognize him to be Lord God. Have you ever thought of this? How many religious leaders have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hymns and songs been written about? Perhaps one or two songs about one or two leaders. But Jesus has inspired the great hymns and the great songs of the centuries. Unto him be glory and honor and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Christ is number one on God's agenda. And if we claim to be his followers, he should be number one on our agenda too. It is the consuming issue for our souls and our destiny. Heir of all things, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. No wonder it says in chapter 2, for this reason we must pay closer attention, lest we drift away from it. The book of Hebrews will help us to stay on track.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and my friend, it is so important that we do stay on track. It's heartbreaking when you realize that the Christian church today has lost its mission. We've become so identified with politics and political parties and candidates that people forget that the real reason for the church to exist is to extol the blessing and the qualifications of Jesus as the only Savior. I think it's time that we had a convention as evangelicals, and we finally decided that we were going to choose the right battle. And the right battle is the one that I was talking about just moments ago. The right battle has to do with the question of whether or not Jesus is a Savior, whether or not he is the only Savior, and why. That's what our nation needs to hear. I long for the day when the Christian church is known for its deeply committed belief to Jesus as the Savior of the world. Meanwhile, you and I are called by God to clarify these issues to our neighbors, to our friends, to the people with whom we work, so that even though Christianity is being misunderstood in the wider culture, we can make a difference where God has planted us. Today, tell someone about Jesus.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has concluded Someone Better Than Angels, the first of six messages in his series Highlights from Hebrews. Monday, we move to Hebrews chapter 3 and a sober warning about living with missed opportunities. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our series from Hebrews will help you draw near to God in fully assured faith. Highlights from Hebrews can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. Finally, you can write to Running to Win, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Don't miss Monday's Running to Win.